Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch or Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just absolutely love to watch and talk about and laugh about and make fun of. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast talking about board games. Joining me today on this wonderful day after his birthday is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie? How are you?
Hi.
How are you, Ben?
I'm great, actually. I'm really great. This is our Friday. And excited to talk some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills today. One thing I want to talk about, though, first of all, it's Crappens on Demand. So if you go to patreon.com/watchcrappens, you can sign up and you can watch us doing this recap. Ronnie has on a lovely watermelon shirt. It's really adorable. And I am wearing a shirt that looks like the inside of a watermelon. But I want to circle back on some things that we talked about in the beginning of the week. First of all, pancakes with crispy edges. It's all the rave. All the rage. People are into it. So thank you everyone for all the feedback on that. We put up a poll on our Instagram about, are you going to be making pancakes with crispy edges? It had, so far, the answer is yes. People are going to be making it this weekend. So be sure to do that.
Telling you. I'm telling you. People just... You start talking about a crispy edge. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe the controversy.
Yeah.
Controversy.
It's a controversy. But actually, more importantly, I really didn't want to talk about crispy edges that much. What I wanted to talk about was you had mentioned pickleball and how your sister was like, oh, I love pickleball. And you're like, oh my God, pickleball. And we're like, oh God, fucking pickleball. Guess who's on the cover of Pickleball Magazine?
Hi, I'm Teddy.
What are the
odds? I'm Teddy. I love pickleball.
Of course, that's a Teddy sport, you know?
Of course.
That's the thing. I was like, where did this come from? Why are people suddenly upset? It's like every basic person I know is like, pickleball. No offense to any of the basic people who are listening to this that I do know. I'm not talking about your Instagram, even though I kind of am. Like, of course, this basic bitch loves pickleball. And of course, it's Teddy, who's like the most basic of all the pickleball batches. So there you go. Teddy loves it. So I have some Teddy news actually as well. Ben, would you like it?
I would, yes.
Okay, so Queens of Bravo tweeted. I was listening to, so follow Queens of Bravo. Hi, Queens of Bravo. Tweeted, I was listening to Teddy's podcast, The Things I Do for Y'all. And during her appearance at Kyle's dinner, Teddy overheard Garcelle tell production, why is she even here? And why does she get to have an opinion? Cheers, dead face, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So then Garcelle tweets back, well, that's not true. And Sir Court says, we really want it to be, though. Like, really? And she writes back, well, I said it in front of her while we were filming. So the part that's not true was that she went to production. She said it right to your face, Teddy.
Yeah. And then Teddy, I saw something where Teddy said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on things. Like, I didn't have to muzzle myself. It was like this whole thing. It's like, you know what? Tell it to the Pickleball Association, okay? Don't try.
Yeah.
Why is there a magazine for pickleball?
Take it to your tiny court. Okay. And, you know, people don't remember why. Like, everyone's like, well, why would Garcelle be so mean to Teddy? Because Teddy's an asshole. And Teddy came in for Denise for no reason, just because all of her mean girl friends were doing it. And she was also an asshole to Garcelle. So I know that we all get a little amnesia as the season goes, and Teddy's gone now, and so it just seems like, why do we hate Teddy again? Teddy earned that. Okay, and thank God we have a housewife who sticks to her guns, as we will see as this episode unfolds.
We've been saying for a few weeks now that Garcelle clearly hates these women, that she's showing up pretty much because she knows it's good career wise but she just hates them. After what happened with Denise, she cannot hide her disdain. And it's like, it's taken all season for the woman to suddenly realize this. They're like, wait a second. Does Garcelle not like us? That's kind of the vibe, right? So this episode, let's just dive into it. This episode opens up. We're at Rinna's house. And my nightmare comes true, which is Eyal Booker, Delilah's boyfriend, has finally made doing an official scene on Beverly Hills. Now, for people who watched Love Island season 4, they know who Eyal is, and he was awful. He's hot, but he's awful. He's just like so obnoxious, and he's such a narcissist. And so, of course, he shows up in this scene with Delilah, and they're in a Ferrari of some sort. And it's from what I can gather, it sounds like Amelia, and by Amelia, I mean Scott Disick, bought them this Ferrari. Am I right, Ronnie?
Rented it.
Oh.
They like rented it for him to drive because Brenda's like, what the heck? What the heck, Eyal from television? What the heck, almost got dizzy. And she's like, Mom, this is like my dream car, okay? This is what Amelia got me for Christmas. It's basically a rental. And she's like, Amelia, where did you get this? She's like, friends. Ew, you're old man, okay? Speaking of being under old, messy, smelly, worn-out relics, want to see my old dresses? Come on into the garage, girls.
Here's Nana's wedding dress. It has a big stain. It has a big stain. And Eyal goes, that's a baby-making stain.
That's disgusting. How is it a baby? It's on the ankles. It's like on the bottom of the dress. Aim better. Aim your sperm better, Eyal.
Everybody goes, we love Eyal. He's so good for Delilah. Oh, she's really growing into herself, and we're like, this is great. Free trip to Israel. And then I realized that's Eyal. That's okay, though. We still like Eyal.
You know what? I realized finally a meat that we can eat with all of our friends.
That's halal, ma'am. Halal.
I love his song. I love how lucky are we that we have a future son-in-law who has a hit song named after him, Eyal. That's Hey Ya. So not about Eyal.
Why is your boyfriend named after Sutton coming into her room?
That's Hey Y'all. Okay.
Damn it. Well, he's cute. She goes, I mean, he's cute, but why can't it be Harry Styles?
Imagine thinking that you're Harry Styles worthy right now, okay?
I know.
You're getting what you deserve, okay? Yeah. This is what you deserve, Eyal, okay? You do not deserve a Harry Styles yet.
She wants, instead of Scott Disick, she wants Harry Styles for Amelia. She wants a Harry Styles. She's happy with Eyal. She does not want to trade in Eyal. She wants to trade in Scott Disick.
Oh, well, that's, you know what? But Eyal is kind of like the Scott, wait, Scott, wait, Eyal is the Scott Disick of Harry Styles. Does that make any sense?
The Scott Disick. Eyal is just terrible. I'm sorry.
It's some fuckboy. It's some fuckboy algebra. Okay, you guys figure it out.
Listen, to everyone who's like, oh my God, he's hot. He seems so lovely. We're so happy. Watch Love Island season 4 and you will change your mind. He's awful. He's a narcissist. He's terrible.
So she's talking about her handmade Versace that she wore 7 months pregnant. She loves bringing that one out. She's like, it's worth 25 grand.
Dad bought me all of these. He's the one who got my addiction started.
Yeah, and so then the girls all change into some, you know, some of the dresses, and they're all like modeling, like puckering their lips and like posing for their mom in the dresses. She's like,
I start to see these girls, and I start to cry, and I think, they've come so far. Why can't they date Harry Styles? I mean, Gigi Hadid got Zayn. There's other members of One Direction they could be dating. Harry Styles, the other guy. All of them. Why Scott Disick?
I mean, I know the weekend is a little bit out of our range, but maybe long weekend, Labor Day weekend. Come on, at least give me a weekend. Come on.
What about, is there anyone named Weekday? Anyone?
I mean, if you think about it,
I'll take a Wednesday. I don't care.
Wednesday Adams. Is that a real person? I've heard the name.
It is kind of funny if you think about it that she wants her daughter to date Harry Styles when Gigi's still with Zayn Malik? Do we care? I don't know. But like the point is, it's like Gigi's with a One Direction member. Renault wants Delilah to be with a One Direction member.
Of course. She's totally always after the Yolanda train. She always has been. It's hilarious.
What about Larry?
Yeah, it's kind of like Kyle showing up in Lisa Vanderpump exact outfits in her diary room, like her current puffy thing with the Lisa Vanderpump hair and the. Oh, and we were talking about how Kyle is suddenly wanting to cook. Duh. During filming was when Overserved premiered, Lisa's show, where she has parties at her house and she cooks dinner parties. Hello. Of course it was for Lisa Vanderpump the whole time.
Kyle's like, I'm going to do a show too. It won't be called Overserved. It'll be called Overcooked.
She's really working that with that burnt salmon, huh?
She'll never, we'll never forget it. So now Rinna's just crying. She's like, you know, I have moments where I'm just in the house and the girls are away and Harry's in Romania. And I think, shit, people want to go to Romania instead of hanging out with me. I'm all alone. It's an emptiness. Life goes on. But so do we. Just how we do it is no mystery.
And anyone who follows Rin on Instagram knows what she's doing when she's bored home alone.
Yes.
It's dancing around in bikini bottoms, you know, on her Instagram. And it just, it was sad enough without knowing the story. Because now I know the sadness that lurks under there, you know. Bless your heart, Rinna. I had a dream that Rinna yelled at me, and it was not pleasant. So for whatever I did, sorry. Mostly all this shit talking, but sorry. Just don't listen to this.
She can be scary. I feel like people don't realize how scary she can be. I always think about Bonnie Raitt because was it on our show? Because Rinna was a guest on our show for our 5-year anniversary. And I think she told us a story about how Bonnie Raitt showed up at her door and was like, I used to live in this house and that was the bench I used to sit on, whatever. And I just imagine poor Bonnie Raitt, like the door opens up and there's Rinna dancing. She's like, I'm home alone. How are you? Let's give the people something to talk about. I can't make you dance with me if you won't.
Oh, you bet I'll give him something to talk about.
Have a heart.
So Rinna talks about how much she loves her daughters and how they've been through so many difficult struggles, which of course we know because we've watched the show and we all know that Amelia had to work at the toast place. We all remember that horrifying storyline.
The toast place. So then Amelia excuses herself because she has a stomach ache as maybe the crushing reality of her dating life is hitting her. And then Rinna is just sitting there with Eyal and Delilah. And Eyal's like, so I sent your lip kit to my mom and she loves it. She absolutely loves it. I'm so deep. I'm Eyal.
My mom loves your lip kit. She's like, oh, we're going to have lunch with the girls. And so she tells us that Crystal offered to have the launch party for Rinna Gloss or whatever it is at her house. And she's like, yeah, I don't think she wanted to visit my location because it didn't go too well for her last time. And we see the clip of, well, jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants.
So then we go to Crystal's house and Crystal is putting some chili paste and some cucumbers. And Miss Lucy is just like, too greasy. It's too greasy.
No. Like, you always say my food is too greasy. It's supposed to be. It's grease. It's grease that I'm putting on.
It's like, wrong.
No.
Wrong.
So Dorit shows up and they...
Hello, mama.
It's like, is that a roller coaster coming to the end of its track or is that Dorit? You know, that's the sound roller coaster's coming. You know when they slide into the end?
Hi, mama.
Exit to the right.
Hi, mama.
Exit to the right. So, yeah, they can't hug.
Dorit's like,
oh, it's so difficult not to touch you. You know, I'm such a hugger normally. This is very difficult. I'm such a hugger.
Oh, is Erica here? I hate hugging. It's like, wow, Dorit, you don't have to flip-flop on everything in front of her.
So, so she's like, I just absolutely love seeing the traditional things that you cook up on your Instagram.
And so they're just like hanging out in the kitchen and they're setting up outside. Crystal is setting up for Lisa's lunch that she's doing for her lip kit thing. And this was great for me because I feel like in the beginning of the season, Crystal really, you know, began the season as a huge asshole. And then she sort of settled into like normal chill. And I was like, but I liked when you were a huge asshole. And she's like, okay, I'll bring it back. She's like, so I host people's parties like all the time. Like normal times, I'm probably hosting 2 to 3 kind of parties a week.
Yeah, I just love it so much. I just really feeds my intense, you know, control, scheduling, personality, just throwing parties all the time. I'm like, you do not throw 3 parties a week for other people. I'm sorry. I do not believe that for 1 second.
Yeah. I mean, Lion King didn't bring in that much money.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, how much did Lion King bring in?
Yeah.
So they start talking about the party, the holiday party where Erica got questioned. Ooh, Erica got questioned. And so Dorit's like, well, it was a holiday party, and Erica walks in, and she's a shell of herself, just a shell. It just didn't seem like the night to pounce on her.
I don't disagree, but then again, I don't think any night is a good night to pounce on someone. So then Dorit then just makes it about her. She says, well, you know what? I felt for the past few months that Garcelle has made little jabs at me, just little jabs at me.
And this is the physical, this is how jabs are. She just kind of like glitter. if you just washed your hands and there's no paper towels, and then you like flick your fingers to get off the water. She's like, little jabs everywhere. A new show on Hulu starring Garcelle and Reese Witherspoon.
Little jabs, just getting in the mirror. Little sprinkly jabs.
That really made my wrist tired, Ronnie.
So basically, Dorit, which they don't even mention in this episode, but the reason Dorit is mad is because Garcelle said, so all the women that you know of color are employees.
they're
part of the staff. That's when Dorit really got pissed, I think.
Yes, I agree. So we see a montage of Garcelle jabs, and Dorit's like, it's starting to piss me off. I'm like, it's not starting to piss you off. You are pissed off. So,
Crystal. Yes, and I have to say, I have to go through the examples that they show of why Dorit is mad at Garcelle, because at one point on vacation, Garcelle says, well, what do we need to give Dorit a timer when she talks? Okay, she did say that, but Kyle was the one yelling at you. You just got into a fight with Kyle because you talk too much. So she was making a joke about that fight. So stop trying to make that her. And then when she was sitting at the table saying, well, no one's looking to pry, Erica. And she said, well, that's not what you said the other night. Okay, but you also totally wussed out. You can't get mad at Garcelle that you wussed out on this whole conversation and set her up. And why did they not put a clip of the help comments that she was making? Whatever, Dorit, you're wrong. And I would like to welcome you back to the show, wrong-ass Dorit, because I have really missed being pissed at stupid Dorit fights.
I know, everyone's been saying, where's Dorit been this season? And here she is. She's trying to start with Garcelle. It's not going to end well for her. So she's like, I have absolutely no idea where this is coming from. And Garcelle used to never do this to me, ever, guys. And we've always been friends. And you know that she's trying to say something, but she doesn't have the guts to do it. It's chicken shit. Like Alanis Morissette used to sing, it's chicken shit.
Actually, she does have the guts to say it. And she said it to your face constantly and doesn't give a fuck what you think. I would call that guts. I hate when people say that. They're like, oh, really? You have something to say it to me? Say it to my face. Like, yeah. I just said it to your face. I literally just said it to your face.
Like when Garcelle, I mean, I don't see what's like when Garcelle says that's not what you said the other night. That's about as brutally honest as one can expect. I think when Garcelle tells Kathy Hilton, well, I used to hate your daughter, that's pretty direct.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody can honestly say that Garcelle is not direct enough. Like, that's just a crazy criticism. So she's like, well, I have no idea where this comes from. We used to be friends. You know, I just don't appreciate it. Like PK always says, to a tub of Crisco with a side of Hershey syrup, it's best to get to the bottom of it.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go from the glamorous world of Crystal Kung Minkoff's house to over to down on Skid Row.
I keep asking God what I'm for. And he says,
Gee, I'm not sure. Sweep that floor, kill. Ow. I'm not in life as an orphan, the child of the street. Here down on Skid Row. Here in Hancock Park. Tom took me in, gave me shelter, a bed, piece of bread, and a job. Treats me like dirt and calls me a slum,
which I am. And that's why I have to vacuum in the scene.
So I live Hancock Park.
Where the streets are actually quite nice and manicured.
Hancock Park.
Where the neighborhood watch is very vigilant.
Hancock Park.
Where there's room for my Range Rover.
Yes, this is the Erica is poor now scene. I was dying watching this scene. It was so funny. The show, it starts with her like vacuuming the couch and she's like,
I haven't lived alone in almost 30 years. It's so quiet. Nothing to do. A lot of vacuuming. I think cleaning is almost meditation. Really like my vacuum cleaner. Let's be honest. If I was having good sex, this wouldn't be so depressing. But I'm doing it. Single ladies.
That's why I like to sit here and just scrub down my oven. It's like, that's a refrigerator. My refrigerator. My cold wardrobe. That's what I call it. My cold wardrobe. It's like, have you even been in a kitchen before? I'm very poor.
Extremely, extremely poor, people.
Yeah, I was cracking up how they kept showing her cleaning, which I don't believe she's cleaning that place. Give me a break. You're still paying $10,000 a month in rent. You're getting your house cleaned. And then they would show her, like, clean something on the couch and then just go, like, sigh. And like,
well, that's what I
like do. Here's Erica being super sad. Okay, so I'm going to share this with you guys. I just made this video. I just made this video I want to share with you. You know, I loved this version of Erica so much that I put her in the musical Annie. So just take a listen. If you want to see the video and you're not on Crappens On Demand, just head over to our Instagram. Okay, here it goes.
It's the hard knock life for us. It's the hard knock life for us.
Ronnie face swap Erica with Annie. It's very impressive and horrifying. I did what app are you using? Because I use Reface. Are you using Reface?
That's what I use. Yeah, oh, I use Reface.
Do they have
too.
The Annie clip on there? Is that how you're able to do that?
No, girl. You got it. Well, we'll talk about it okay. After. We'll talk about the magic of television.
No, I know, because I've tried to do clips before, and it's like, sorry, it's not in our library. I guess I have to.
No, it's a long process. I'll show you how to do it later.
Okay,
but
great.
Yeah, I was dying. And, you know, anything you can put to a musical. And do you know what else it made me realize? Annie is a really good fucking musical. It is so good. That movie is so good. Have you seen Annie the movie? Have you?
Not since I was like 3 years old.
Watch it again. I mean, Carol Burnett, Bernadette Peters, Tim Curry, Walter Buns, who plays Annie, who cares? I mean, Anne Rankin, they're all great. Wow. So, so good.
Wow.
Okay, anyway, the point is Erica's poor, LOL.
Yeah, she's poor. She's, you know, it's nice to see that her situation really applied to multiple musicals, right? I'm sorry that I stepped on your Annie moment with a Little Shop of Horrors
Little Shop of Horrors is better, because I was like, Annie's so obvious. I was going to put Erica in the opening of Give Me a Break, and just because, you know, that whole thing is Nell Carter cleaning.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, I don't know, maybe that's
that might be black
not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. And well, I wasn't going to put her as Nell Carter, just the opening. But I was like, well, people even get that. But then guess what? Guess who I saw playing Miss Hannigan on Broadway? Nell Carter. So you see,
whoa,
it all came full circle.
Oh, it all came. And you know what? And guess who was in Give Me a Break? Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence.
Who, and guess what? Joey Lawrence probably is cleaning his furniture now also. So there.
Little girls.
Well, no.
Everywhere, then I can see them.
Joey Lawrence, who I believe, I could be wrong, was on the same season of Dancing with the Stars as Lisa Rinna. That could be wrong.
Was he? Also, Joey Lawrence now looks like
Mario Lopez.
He looks like Tom Girardi now. Joey Lawrence. They look like twins. I don't know what happened to Joey Lawrence. I don't know if somebody stopped giving him water. I don't know what happened to him, but he looks basically like Tom Girardi.
He basically looks like that old toy you'd have where it was like a bald guy with magnetic shavings, and you take the pen and you like put it around and make like a magnetic shaving beard. That's like Joey Lawrence.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joey.
Okay, so so Erica's poor. I just like saying Erica. Let's just keep talking so we can keep say, let's go back to the scene. Erica's poor now.
Okay. Erica is poor. She's vacuuming for the first time in her life. Her
Hello! Hello! Hello!
How are you? By the way, I just have to also point out, and this is important to me, that Erica's sofas, in an effort to also look extra poor, she literally found my Grandma Sally's sofas from Flushing, New York, and imported them into her Hancock Park house. Grandma Sally had these red velvet sofas. The only thing that was missing from Erica's were like little tassels. Grandma Sally had little tassels. My cousin Melissa, who listens,
I think that's a little sexy. I think that's a little sexy for Grandma Sally. Was Grandma Sally a little... she like a Rue McClanahan?
More like Rue McClanahan. Grandma Sally would like scare people off with a garden hose. Like she... Listen, Grandma Sally was... Grandma Sally, as far as I could tell, was... This was, it did not, I'll put it this way. It did not look like a bordello in her house. Okay. It was like Grandma Sally's red couches, right? And that's what Erica has. She's like, well, I had to get these couches from a sale in Flushing, New York, because I'm so poor right now.
Oh, so Rena's just going, oh my God, it's Kyle's birthday. It's Kyle's birthday. So both times we've seen Erica pretend to clean has been followed up with Rena coming over and then them just having champagne. I don't think that's funny. It's like Erica just pretends to clean and then drinks champagne. So then Erica's like, well, I had to make it nice because, well, you guys were coming. All the people ever coming. You know, one of my lawyers said, how are you? And I said, I'm just getting through this. I'll unpack the emotions later.
Yeah. Poor Erica. Unpacking the emotions. So everyone's showing up and she's like, be careful. Did you say about the rug?
Be careful about the rug. Be careful of the tacky rug. It's lifting up.
Like, so she's even got like a shabby rug to really play it, to fill out the scene, you know.
I can't with her being so sad. This is like our dream house. Both of us like see this house and we're like, wow, one day.
It is so nice. I know.
Maybe by episode 97,002, we can get that house. That sad house in Hancock Park.
By the way, I have to say this. I misspoke. Joey Lawrence was not on the same season as Lisa Rinna, but he was on the same season as Harry Hamlin of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, wow.
So, see, it always works out. It always works out.
It sure does. So, let's see. Kyle arrives in as many brands as she can fit on herself. You know, I love that Kyle's going to visit her newly poor friend and dresses in like $200,000 worth of clothes.
I know. It's perfect.
And as Erica pours the drink, Kyle says, oh my God, you're so professional with your pour. Oh God, don't make her a waitress again already. Leave the girl alone. Stop making me on Erica's side today.
So they all sit down in this living room with the rug that's lifting up. And here's what's really notable about all this sofa set with the chairs is it's like too big for the room, but it's like, I feel like it's intentionally really big. So that way it makes the room just seem so small and crowded. They're all sort of like sitting on top of each other and the wall is right there, like in their little, the little corner of this tiny little shack, you know? It's made to look like this miniature house. So they're there and they give, it's time to give presents for Kyle. And so they give Kyle a faux fur jacket. I think Rena gives her a faux fur jacket. Kyle's like, oh my God. Oh my God. And she's like very excited about it.
Yeah. And so then they have cake and Rena goes, oh my God, cake, cake. Oh my God. Look at the cake. And then she puts her fork down, like moving her mouth. Like she's just loving this cake. There is this much icing. It's not even a piece of the cake. It's like a little dot of icing. And she goes,
And then the cake is never seen from again.
You never see the cake again.
New owners of that house are going to come in and be like, oh my God, there's 3-year-old cake under this sofa.
Right. So Rin is like, well, you know, I did see Dorit and Sutton. And I will say the girls are a little nervous. They're a little nervous. She's like, about what? They didn't have their legal questions fully answered. She's like, well, they didn't ask everything they wanted to ask.
And then we see a flashback of Sutton saying, I just don't want to put myself in jeopardy, not until they figure out who the new host is, if you know what I'm saying.
So Rin is like, you know, I said to Sutton, listen, Sutton, I was really trying to help you the other night. Oh, really, Rin? Mm-hmm. Really, you were?
Why don't you say more, Sutton? That's not what you were saying. Aren't you worried about your reputation, Sutton? Erica has a big booty. Is that what you said, Sutton? Erica can't sing. She said that. Did you call Erica poor? Say it, Sutton.
I know. And Kyle's like, no, I wasn't trying to be a bitch to Sutton, but I just was like, say what you needed to say and be honest. Be honest. Say what you need to say.
So fucking Kyle. Both of these ladies are such bad friends. They're terrible. And Kyle supposedly admitted, I didn't hear this, I just read it in a comment on social media, but Kyle apparently admitted that she brought Teddy over to help stand up for Erica, because Teddy was like one of the Fox Force Five, well, or whatever they call themselves.
Because Teddy's like in her own, you know, scandal that she's dealing with, her own minor scandal. Of course she's going to stand up for Erica.
Yeah. So Erica's like, well, what did they say? And Kyle says, well, Sutton just doesn't want any problems legally or any problems in society. And Erica just takes a long pause and she's like, how very small town of her.
Sutton is concerned about her reputation, but she wasn't saying I'm concerned about my reputation in society, because LA doesn't really have a society, let's be honest. I mean, if Kris Kardashian's at the top of it, that's not really society like that. But I mean, let's be honest. Like, well, it's not like society with a capital S. It's just, it's you know, civilization, I guess. But she's just like, listen, I don't want to be kicked off. I don't want to be kicked off, you know, American Ballet, ABT, whatever it is. So, I mean, it is also, by the way, very, very much society. Her. I mean, it's very much her, for sure, looking out for herself and making it about herself. Don't get me wrong. But right. I just didn't, you know, Kyle made it sound as bad as possible. That's the point, right? And that's what Kyle does. So Erica's like, oh, well, how about a small town of her, huh? That's cowardice, if you ask me. I mean, what are we in small town Georgia, okay? I mean, you think you have fear? How about my fucking fear? The fear of all this shit that's being said and how this is all going to play out in time. Trying to figure out what will I do? How will I find a new rag? Do all my cleaning in my small house? Think about that fear.
You want to talk about fear? Open your Twitter and see orphans coming after you and widows holding brooms in the street. That's fear, bitch. That is fear.
But what are they talking about here? I mean, they're acting like Sutton was saying all this stuff behind her back. Again, no. Sutton was not being a weakling and saying all this behind your back. She said it all to your fucking face. Just last time you were together. Why are they acting like Sutton didn't say any of this to your face? They're acting like, oh, we just caught Sutton talking behind your back.
She said it!
Yeah. I'm sorry that Sutton doesn't want to be dragged into, you know, a legal quagmire, you know? So then Kyle goes, so Erica, did you want to leave, as in leave Tom, for a long time? I mean, I don't ask that because of, you know, I asked that because of the cheating. And she goes,
well, the cheating is something that I truly discovered the night that I left Yolanda's condo. She was talking about David and she said something like, boys will always protect boys, which, by the way, is such a Yolanda thing to say. Boys will always protect boys. And that night, when I got home, Tom was asleep, and her phone was there, and I picked up that Samsung Razor phone, and I said, I'm gonna look, and in there was everything, except for anything incriminating about the lawsuit that I might have known about, but about the affair, yes, everything.
Yeah, and Ren is like, whoa! Wow! Whoa! Woof! Whoa!
Woof!
Whoa!
This is a big woof! Wow!
Whoa!
I am this close to dropping my head and doing the head shock thing where I go, but I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Head hasn't fallen
yet. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Erica is intrepid enough to suss out this affair, but not quite intrepid enough to find out where the money is coming from for her LLC.
Yeah. So she's like, well, it's been real mental for a long time. It's been so hard, ladies. It's been so hard. And Kyle's like, I would have strangled him to sleep. And Erica goes, well, what good would that have done if I didn't have all the facts?
So
you mean the money?
I know, exactly. I just like that Erica's like, well, I didn't know something, so therefore I dropped it. Like, that's the story here. Oh, I tried to find out about the LLC, but I couldn't find out. I tried to find out about the fair, but I couldn't find out. She's like all of a sudden so helpless. So helpless in all these stories that she tells.
Right. But she just found everything in the phone, but she didn't have all the facts. I don't know. It was confusing. Erica's like,
well, I wanted to make sure what I was seeing was what I thought I was seeing.
Okay. So then she says, you know, but I had a thought of leaving.
But how? Well,
and she says, I'm so dependent on my husband at this point. And I said, what if he cuts those cords? What am I going to ask you for money to help me leave my husband?
Yes.
For Christ's sake, get a job. Why? What the hell's wrong with you? Uber. Get a fucking job.
Drive Uber. Okay, Postmates. Like, you could, like, literally, you have a singing career. You could also, like, you are on Bravo Television. You'll find a way.
She's acting like she's hooked up to multiple machines and he's the only person coming in to change her bedpan. Give me a fucking break.
I know. So, but Kyle actually starts to sniff it out. She's like, but don't you have a prenup? I feel bad. And Erica's like, no prenup. She goes, so then how come you couldn't have left? And he goes, well, he'd find a way out of it. I'm like, that logic does not, it's like, oh, he would find a way out of it, so I'm not even going to try to leave. That does not, you stayed for the money. You literally stayed for the money.
Right. And if you were worried that Tom's just so powerful that he was going to find a way to hide all those assets and get them away from you, I mean, you get an account that he doesn't have a part of and you move a bunch of money into an account. I know this bitch has watched Lifetime.
If Katie Holmes could get away from Tom Cruise, Erica Girardi can get away from Tom Girardi. I'm sorry.
For real. Like, literally. So Kyle's like, yeah, Kyle's like, so how come you couldn't have? And she's like, you try and find a way out of it. And Erica tells us, I made plans of being financially successful.
I found a way to leave. I didn't have a prenup. I didn't get one dime from him. So I said, I'm going to work. So I'm going to fucking work. And one day, I'll be able to stand on my own 2 feet. And that's what I did. That's what this is. This is me standing on my feet.
She's trying to sort of like rebrand her pop career as actually an escape plan. I don't know. And then when she did say, I don't have a prenup
that he was paying for.
She goes, I don't have a prenup and I still don't have one motherfucking dime from him. I'm like, see, that's like sort of tone deaf because you're sitting here complaining that you don't have a dime from Tom when there are orphans and widows who have a legitimate claim on that money. I mean, she has a legitimate claim because she's the wife, soon to be ex-wife. But like, it's sort of like what Garcelle said. Why you should be more upset about these victims. Like, that's not the narrative that Erica's pushing forward.
Right. So Erica's saying how this is all her. You know, Tom hasn't done any of this for her. This is her standing on her own 2 feet. And Rena's like, yeah, and you couldn't have done this 6 years ago. She goes, no, I could not have. He would have driven me into the fucking ground. And Kyle says, well, I don't care how many cars you have or how big your house is. I forgot what I was talking about because I have a really big house. I really love my car.
She's like,
do you have any more champagne?
I don't care how many cars you have or how big your house is. That's a lonely life, which is why I come out on top at the end. Okay, that's really just, I just want to make it so everyone realize I win. I win over Erica. She has more cars, but she's lonelier. So,
oh my goodness.
So now we go to Dorit's house where, she's yammering about her Jean-Paul Gaultier dress.
Yes. I love this dress. It's Jean-Paul Gaultier. It's very stylish. But how did you get it on? You know? But I did. I did get it on. Here it is on me. You know? I feel it. I feel like Gwes. I feel like I'm doing justice to this outfit. Do you know?
I love Dorit asking how she puts on the dress when she's already wearing it. How do you put this thing on? I'm like, it already happened.
Am I wearing any makeup? Am I currently wearing any makeup?
How do you grow hair?
So then, and then we have Kyle, who's in the mirror doing her own glam, struggling. And she calls Sutton and she's like, I'm literally looking at myself and looking at what I have to work with today. And it's not good. I think I'm just going to say Candyman three times to see if I can just get into that franchise at this point.
And I like that it's like a smooth Kyle diss of having Sutton's name spelled wrong on her phone. It's spelled Sutton, Strakke. I like that Kyle's like, whoops, sorry. How do you spell that again? Who are you?
And Sutton goes, I'm wearing a jumpsuit and I literally don't care.
I'm channeling Katherine Hepburn today. And Kyle's like, I'm channeling a beat up jalopy. So, great.
I'm channeling so then we go to.
Yeah, then we go to Crystal's house, and there's roses, and everybody has their name at their place and stuff. It looks really pretty, and Vanderpump, there's lips, you
very
know.
Very Vanderpumpian.
It is. There's pink flowers everywhere. The Rinna lips, you know, they're basically like from Gadzooks or what? No, what's that store? Spencer Gifts, you know, where they're like, here's a phone in the 80s shaped like lips.
Yes. So then Rinna comes and goes, this is so beautiful. I'm dying. I just wish Harry Styles could be here. Oh, I couldn't have launched Rinna Beauty at a more difficult time when everyone's wearing masks. But luckily I'm in Beverly Hills where no one wears masks. But I'm a hustler. And when you're a hustler, you just do what you said you're gonna do. Oh no, there's a bug in my lip. It's a hustler bug. It said I want to go into Rinna's lip, and it did. Oh, that is so gross.
Oh, so we see clips of her doing Access Hollywood and her duster line on the Home Shopping Network or whatever. And she's like, I'm like a cockroach. So the producer's like, yeah, wow, even the bug likes your lip gloss, Rinna. And so then we see them ordering drinks. She's going to order the Dancing Queen. And Crystal's going to get a pucker up, bitch.
Yeah. I think Garcelle.
Just listening to Crystal order that cracks me up because Crystal's so like, kind of prim. She's like, I'll have a pucker up, bitch, please. Thanks.
Which is something that Scar said to Mustafa's wife after, well, you know that situation.
It was cut. I mean, it was cut from the film. I know because my husband directed it. Yeah.
So then Garcelle arrives and so is Kathy Hilton. Hello! And Rinna says that she couldn't sleep last night because she was so excited. And then Kyle shows up and goes, gorgeous. Basically turns into Sheena.
Gorgeous.
So what's funny about this is Kyle starts asking everyone how their holiday was and everything. And I'm only saying this is notable because later on there's a full-on scene at Kathy's house with the Christmas decoration. Like, it's a Christmas scene. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Not even bothering continuity.
Yeah. They're like, we'll do that one day. Just save it.
Yeah.
So Kyle had her husbands and kids over for the holidays, and Farrah and her new guy was there. Don't like her boyfriend. I can tell you this right now. Because he talks like this with his eyes really wide and his forehead wrinkled, because that's what dumb people do when they're trying to seem really smart. They talk to you like that. Or really, I shouldn't call him dumb, like really condescending, you know? It's like, here's what I'd like. When we have children together. And I was like, whoa.
Con artist.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. How about you just wait until you ask permission from one of the top real estate people in this country, sir?
Sir.
Okay.
Sir. But they love, Kyle loves Farrah's boyfriend. And so now Dorit shows up. And Erica everyone's showing up. Oh, Rinna Beauty, wow. And Erica's like, I'm going to order the no apologies. And do you happen to have a fuck those widows and orphans cocktail by any chance?
I'd like a side of stick up her ass southern bitch if you got it. That'll be right.
Do you happen to have a glass of... So what happened was, Tom was trying to drive home. He drove off the side of a cliff. And then a coyote found him, and then an Acme weight fell on his head, and then I found him 12 hours later, and he was dead and alive at the same time.
No? All right, well, I'll just stick with the no apologies.
And Kathy goes, ooh, and Garcelle hears her, and she tells us, how ironic that she chooses the no apologies. Coincidence? I just wanted that little meme that goes, That's the joke.
I know.
It's like pointing out, going, that's the joke.
I was like, thanks for spelling that out for us, Garcelle. And she even goes, I think not. I was like, oh, you didn't even do a play on that. So then Sutton comes in with her jumpsuit. She's like, excuse me, girls. Hello there. Jumpsuit coming through, and I don't care that I'm wearing a jumpsuit, ladies.
And here we go.
Mike crooked. I mean, why is one shoulder up so high?
I'm sorry, people don't know why we're laughing. Ben's doing a Sutton walk. It's so funny. Okay, so this is the gaslighting that this cast always does to one girl in the group. So Erica's like,
well, I'm not paying any mind to that bitch, especially after I heard she doesn't want to be around me because of an old reputation.
She said it to your face. Stop trying to make this storyline that she's doing all this stuff behind your back. And now that's going to be the storyline. And then everyone watching it is going to believe it. Because yes. That's how we are. We have dumb housewives brains.
Yep, exactly. And so Sutton tells us.
Second of all, wearing three crosses around your neck does not make you a martyr among thieves at Calvary. Okay, so cut the crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you tell them.
Crosses.
Crucifix. I was like waiting for the rest of the sentence. I was like, please say it. Please say the word crosses. So then.
It's like, what is he waiting for? And then I realized I never really finished a sentence.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, can I go now? So then Sutton goes. Sutton's like, well, maybe I overreacted a bit. I mean, sure, I bought a Klieg lot and put in a little bat in it and I made a bat signal in the sky. I guess I overreacted a little bit, but. Still, I don't like it, and still I have questions, but I can go to a lipstick party, for God's sake, I can go to a lipstick... Wait, hold on a second. Missy Copeland's on the phone. What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot go to this lipstick party with this felon. Sorry.
All right, maybe I overreacted a little bit, but it was nice to have lunch with Sam Waterston. It had been a while, you know? And here I am, at a lipstick party now. So Sutton's like, Yeah, Law and Order.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
So, sorry, that's some old Law and Order. Okay. They can't all be Olivia Bensons.
So then Sutton gets some, she gets some champagne and she asks for vodka in it. And Kyle's like, vodka? And she goes, well, the other night, apparently the other night, Sutton also got tequila in her champagne. And Kyle's like, you are an animal. Well, it's called Tequila Slamma. And this is called a slutty buddy butthole. But that's besides the point. And I swear she said slutty. Because then the producer's like, slutty buddy butthole. And she's like, no. Sutty buddy butthole. Listen, my reputation hangs on this drink. So please get it right.
I want to be accepted in society. Which is why I'm drinking a Sutty Buddy Butthole. Okay.
That's why I'm drinking a leaky rectum Redolzo.
So then Nicole, I think that's her name, comes out. She's like, well, ladies, I have to go. I'd like to thank you all for coming to the opening of my new business that Lisa Rinna put her name on. Lisa, we launched a beauty product in a pandemic. And you know what? We killed it. Thanks for showing up for the party. Okay.
You fucking loser. I do everything.
All the men are like, who is this person? Why is the caterer speaking?
I know. But actually, I'm making fun of Rinna. But you actually have to kind of give her credit because Rinna's one of the only people who brings on the people behind the scenes that actually make the product.
Yeah.
Usually people are like, I did this all myself. And Lisa Rinna's like, hey, would you like to eat a little bit of tuna tartare and say hello? Okay, thanks. It'd be great, Nicole.
It's true. So now they're all they're like serving themselves. There's a little buffet going on, and Kyle's loading up her plate again as usual. She's like, "Why am I the only one loading up my plate, guys?"
And Kathy did too.
Yeah,
you know, there's something good about that family.
They're
drunk and they eat.
They really do. So now Kyle starts asking Garcelle about the reel and how it's going. And she's like, oh, well, it's great. I just have to go downstairs to my room to film it. It's a pretty short commute. And she's gonna have to start going back to Burbank once they're filming in person again. And, Dorit's like, yes. Thank you, Garcelle. This is, Krista, thank you. She goes, thank you, Garcelle. This is so yummy and so beautiful. But she's talking to Crystal. It's the second time that Garcelle has been confused for someone who looks nothing like her.
Yeah, like that's Crystal. I mean, Crystal, that's what I meant. And she goes, you know, it's because, Garcelle, I've been thinking of you. Now, there are things that have been bothering me quite honestly, being bothered. Very, very bothered.
Well, let's talk about it. I'm already bored, so it can't get any worse, am I right?
Well, I'd like to, because I feel like the last couple of months, you've been making jabs at me. A lot of little jabs. You've been making jabs at me.
Why are you splashing invisible water at my face?
Jabs! Stop making jabs about me saying you're making jabs.
Have I? That's Garcelle's way of saying, no, I haven't. So Dorit's like,
well, I don't really know why you're doing it, but I'm definitely noticing it, sort of like PK eating through the Pringles that I keep buying him over and over again. And it doesn't sit well with me, Garcelle, and I want to know what's going on. It's like a bully. It's like a bully jabbing bully.
And then they cut to Kyle, and Kyle's like...
Kyle's
every time they
faces.
Cut to Kyle, yeah, Kyle's like, listen, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, it's gonna take a while, can you just get me doing 20 different reaction shots and intersperse them throughout this scene, because every time they just cut to Kyle and she's like
she's like she's like, it's like her audition for mime school. So yes. I literally don't know faces.
Yeah, so there's a really long pause because Garcelle's just looking at her like, really, bitch. So she doesn't say anything at first. And then that's when Dorit's like, it's like a bully. A bully, that's what it's like. And Kyle's like, wah. And so Garcelle goes, well, what kind of jabs? Why don't you tell me? Because maybe I forgot. And she goes, well, the first one was when you said, she talks a lot. And that was fine, because I was thought, geez. I mean, you know, that morning I'd been out in the garden thinking, who does this? Do roses grow themselves? Or do we actually have someone come to do...
Could you please just get to the point?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Jabba.
I noticed, by the way, in this scene that Dorit says G a lot. She's like, and I thought, G... That wasn't very nice. Maybe she's trying to be funny. And then we were at the dumpling party and there was a situation between Crystal and Sutton. And I was like, gee, it's more of a tone and it's more like obnoxious. And then I was playing on a piano. I said, what note is this? And I thought, gee, it's G. The note was G.
And she says, yes, well, at that, you know, between that Crystal and Sutton situation, you know, there was a tone there. It's more of a really obnoxious, rude tune. I mean, as if you would ever stick up for Sutton. Something like that. And Garcelle goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. She goes, oh, you do? She goes, okay, well, then we were at, well, Coyle had a beautiful function.
And that's not what you said the other night, is right. The clip they play. Mm-hmm. And Garcelle's like, well, I'm not wrong about that, but go ahead and keep yelling at me about all the fights that Kyle started. Go ahead, keep on doing that.
Note that that was just a jab in defense of my jabs. Go on. So then, just, and Garcelle's like, she's like, I'm not wrong about that. She goes, well, it's surprising. It takes me off guard. I think, gee. It's like a bully.
And Kyle's huge face. Ooh! And Garcelle says, oh, stop. Just stop it right now. I'm not bullying you. I don't bully anyone. So you can stop right now. And she tells us, a bully picks a fight. I was reacting to what she was doing. I mean, that's such a loaded word. You can't just throw that around. Which, agreed so far. So Dorit's like,
listen, to me, that's the way it very much feels. Do you have a problem with me? Do you? Do you have a problem with me? Because right now you're a vagina that PK can see as we're sitting down trying to have drinks.
Because that's the last time I've seen Dorit this determined to be pissed off about something. It was when she saw Erica's vagine.
Oh, are you forgetting... Rosé Glassgate with Teddy Mellencamp.
Yeah, really, Teddy.
So Garcelle's Teddy. Like, Garcelle's like, well, I don't have a problem with you, but I feel like whenever we all are having a discussion, you tend to hijack the moment,
gee,
just like that, and just go on and on and on and not give others the chance to have their say. So if I've done that, and I know I have, because the things you say I do remember. It's just,
so if it isn't if you've done it, it's when you've done it, you mean?
And Garcelle just looks at her like, die.
Yeah, because Garcelle just said that. Like, it's another thing where they're pretending to have this big gotcha moment with her when she just said she does do those things.
Yeah, she's actually trying to be accountable. She's saying, yes. She basically says, so if I've done that, which is really like, you know, she's like, well, and I do remember doing it.
I have
it. Yes. And she's like, it's actually, she's fessing up. She's taking accountability. And she's like, oh, don't you mean when? When?
So she just stays calm and kind of licks her lips and stares at Dorit. And Kyle's still going, and so Dorit goes, right? And Garcelle laughs and she goes, okay, yeah, okay. Well, if I've done that well, you know, if I've done that well, I remember it. Just say that. And she's like, no one has a chance to speak. That's how I feel. Well, then speak about how you feel then. Then why don't you just say that if that's how you feel? Because she did just say that, fucking twit. She literally just said it. How stupid are you, Dorit?
So you just know this is not going to end well for Dorit, but she keeps pushing. She goes,
would you consider us friends?
Yes.
A friend wouldn't say that.
She goes, well, we started off that way, and I feel like I don't know where I sit with this group, because I feel like, in a way, I feel like an outsider a little bit. And so Dorit's like, why?
She goes, why? Why? Like, snotty. And Garcelle goes, well, I don't know. I'm just saying how I feel. And Renna goes, well, we had a great relationship before.
And
she's all confused now.
Yeah. Right? We talked about that.
Like, we used to have a great relationship. I don't know what you're talking about. What could have possibly happened?
So then Dorit says, well, a really easy way to feel like you're part of a group is to be honest. And if you have a problem, say it.
Which is funny because I guess Dorit doesn't want to be part of the group based on how she asked questions to Erica at Kyle's house.
Right. Or how you were just at Crystal's house bitching about Garcelle behind her back. Garcelle just said everything to your face. And all of these examples you brought up was Garcelle saying something to your face. There's not one scene of Garcelle talking shit behind your back. Not one. Everything is to your face. Stupid Dorit.
So Garcelle,
say it to my face.
You talk too much.
Oh, really? Say it to my face.
Don't forget, this is the same woman in this talk episode too much. Who asked, how do you put on this dress when she was already wearing it? So Garcelle,
how do you drive a car?
I'm like, well, you are already driving it, so.
I have one question for you. Am I sitting in a chair right now?
You are.
Sit to my face.
I have a question. Could someone show me what a lawn looks like?
We're on one right now.
Say that to my face.
Say it to my face.
So Garcelle's like, listen, I don't have a problem with you overall. I have a problem when you won't let anyone else speak. And I believe I'm not the only one at this table that has a problem with you.
And then say it. Say it to my face.
Coyle said that to me. Lisa said that to me. I think, G. Why doesn't Garcelle say that to me? By the way, did you know your name starts with a G?
And Garcelle's like, I did say it.
No, you didn't. You've never said it.
And Kathy goes, I mean, it's not like you haven't heard it before.
And so Kyle goes, and it's not that, like, you know, it's not that you love it when we say it. Okay, I just want to remind everyone that you freaked out when I said that to you. So Kyle, Kyle's like, you know, I think that, you know, Garcelle has a point, right? Like, you ask Dorit what time it is, and she'll tell you how to build a clock, which I love the idea of Dorit giving instructions on how to build a clock.
I know. Kyle gave her a lot of credit with that example, with that hypothetical.
Well, first you got to get a piece of stone, and then you get a battery, and you throw the battery into a well, and you say, please, battery, come out as a hand. And sometimes it comes out as a hand, but sometimes it's a baby hand and not a clock hand. So you have to make another wish.
You know, here's what I do. If the sun comes up, I look at the bedsheet, and if a little hedgehog face comes out, I know it's time for PK's breakfast.
What I do is I take a magic bullet, okay, and I put in, a bunch of Cheerios and pudding, and I wear it up, and I go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and at least I know I have 5 seconds, and then I just base the rest of time on that.
So Garcelle's like, well, what do you think those jabs were that you were calling jabs? Because that was me telling you. You're saying that I need to tell you, but I was telling you over and over again. I told you straight to your face. And Carl's like, well, I think what Dorit's saying is that that's a passive-aggressive way instead of just saying people let people have their word. And Garcelle's like, oh, fuck you. Whatever. Like, whatever with that. Like, I said it, but I didn't say it in the way that you like me to say it. Okay.
Yeah, and then Kyle's
fucking
like,
Kyle. Kyle's the one who started all of this with her Dorit, you talk too much thing. That's what Garcelle was joking about in the first place.
Yeah.
Typical.
And Kyle's like, hey, no, I got into it with Dorit also. I did. And Erica goes, yes, we got into it many times. And we see a flashback of Erica saying, you said dumb shit. I say important shit. Whatever it is. So then Erica's like, you know, talking about Dorit being a talker and, you know, and, you know, when Dorit talks, sometimes I zone out. I think about what's going on with my door? Did I lock my door? Is the dog okay? What's my schedule? What do I have to clean? Will I be able to get all my steps in this tiny, tiny house? You know, things like that.
And Dorit's like, well, it's not just me. You do it to a lot of people. She goes, oh, so now you're going to speak for everybody. She goes, well, I'm making an observation from last year, and I'm making an observation from this year. So now that I'm on the receiving end, I think that first she had a problem with Kyle, and then I see what she did in Palm Springs. And Garcelle's like, oh, fuck you with that. Fuck you.
And then Dorit tells us, what Garcelle did to Erica is exactly what she's been doing to me the past few months. Gee.
Okay, so for everybody who forgot this, you know what she's talking about, but this is supposedly all stuff that Erica was screaming at the producers about, according to Rinna's Instagram. So the fact that Dorit is trying to bring this on camera and make it Garcelle's fault again, when they all know that this wasn't Garcelle's fault, yes, is super shitty of Dorit. So Dorit's like, she perks and perks and perks and makes someone uncomfortable. And then when she's confronted, she throws up her hands. She knows what she doing.
As if not all of them do that. Like, literally all of them do that. And I mean, Kyle is the queen of it, going, I feel bad. I feel bad. Well, the moment that Kyle gets confronted, she goes, I feel bad. So Garcelle's,
well,
like,
also, Dorit's whole problem is Garcelle not saying stuff to her face, but Garcelle has been saying stuff to Dorit's face, and Dorit has a problem with that. And instead of saying in the moment, why did you say that, Garcelle? It hurts me. Dorit goes around and talks behind Garcelle's back to everybody until she brings it up later and starts a big... Like, she's doing everything that she's accusing Garcelle of doing.
Yeah. I mean, hello, Dorit. Annoying. You've got the fancy fish in Garcelle's fish tank. She likes you. But there is actually a shred of truth in it, because Garcelle, like we said before, it's clear that Garcelle doesn't like any of these women. And so she isn't being totally upfront about how she dislikes them all. But yeah, by and large, these are right to Dorit's face. So...
Yeah, but they're to her face. If they said, you're making shitty little comments at me and I don't like it, it hurts my feelings. That's one thing. But saying, like, you do this and you do that and you don't say it to my face, what's right. your problem? She's saying everything to your face.
So Garcelle is just pissed now, because they're trying to, like, you know, make Garcelle like the boogeyman about Erica again. And so she's like, fuck you with that. You know exactly what happened with that. She's like, I don't know. Yes, you do. Fuck you for bringing that up. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Just kidding. Not even you. Whoever you are, you're not cool. All right. Hey, Rinna, bring back your friend. Okay. Hey, random lady. Fuck you too. All right. I'm out. Bye.
And Dorit's like, is that the easy way you're going, or you want to talk about it? And Kyle's like,
so Garcelle's like, oh, Kyle's
like, like, what, Kyle, why are you in an invisible box right now?
She's going down the escalator, but the escalator stops. I feel bad, my escalator stopped. Kyle, you control the escalator. I don't. So Garcelle's
like, look, I want to talk it out if you're going to be fair about it, but not if you're going to be like, oh, Palm Springs. And Garcelle tells us Erica's not mad about this. She knows what happened in Palm Springs, and she's fine. And then we see the clip of Garcelle crying to Erica, saying, I would never hurt you on purpose, and then hugging it out.
So then Rinna's like, Garcelle, sit. And what was so funny is that I actually wrote this down. I didn't realize it was going to be brought back up later in the episode. I was like, does anyone notice that Kathy's just doing her makeup? Because you're just sitting there just like, I was like, I love they're having a fight and Kathy's doing her makeup. And I was like, I felt so proud of myself for noticing that, but it actually then gets totally highlighted. So yeah. Crystal understands why Garcelle is upset. And, you know, and she's like, Crystal says, well, you know, you weren't there when Erica said those words. And Sutton clarifies, Sutton chimes in and goes, yes, quote unquote, don't mention it. Like Sutton's trying to say what Crystal's saying, that Erica
don't mention
said,
it to the group.
Don't mention it to the group. That's what Crystal's meaning. And so Erica turns to Sutton and goes,
I did not say don't mention it to the group. That's not what I said. You be quiet, Miss Small Town. I'm so concerned about my motherfucking reputation. You shut up. Go ahead, Crystal. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sutton's like,
And Sutton kind of laughs, like, well, whatever, poor person. And Erica's like,
you can laugh all you want, girl. I'll go all day with you.
And Sutton's like, okay. She goes,
I'll go get another motherfucking legal opinion. How about that?
She goes, oh, come on.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Don't take that out on me. And she goes, what? Your problems.
Well, my problems are my problems, and don't try to turn them around on me because they don't affect you. And so for you to sit there at her house and say, oh, I don't know that girl, that small town, she is so whack. Yeah, I'm current. I say whack.
And Crystal's like, well, I thought when you brought it up at that moment. Yeah, they're like, shut up, Erica.
Okay.
This is always Erica's thing. She never knows the right time to go off. She just goes off at the most random times. You never see it coming. It's like,
you don't know what I go through at night.
It's like, what? Where did that come from?
Okay. So, yeah.
So, yeah. Crystal's like, look, you brought it up at the end of the walk, and it was a private moment. And she goes,
yeah, it was a private moment with the microphones and a TV crew walking down behind us.
And Dorit goes, yes. And Crystal, you read it, and you felt it, didn't you? And listen, Garcelle, I believe you're a very smart girl. She goes, no, no, you're not pinning that on me, and I'm not going to let you pin that on me. You can say what you want about us, but you were not there, so let's work with you and I and the jabs, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and she goes,
well, we can have a conversation. I certainly don't want to be accused of belaboring a point.
And Garcelle goes, really?
Really? I certainly don't want jabs, then told months later, it's because I belabored a point.
This is a new thing about belaboring a point. And Garcelle goes, case in point. Dorit's like, I don't understand.
Right, so when Garcelle said, if you want to talk about us, let's work with you and I and the jabs. And Dorit said, well, we can end this conversation then. It's like, oh, okay. So you just called her a wuss for not doing it to your face and then walking away from the conversation. But when they couldn't sway this conversation away, you said, we'll end the conversation and then not say anything to her. So I tell you, the way they fight on this show frustrates me so bad. I get so mad.
So then Kyle, the queen of indirect confrontation, goes, well, I think that at the end of the day, the lesson is, even if it doesn't come out right, say it directly. It just seems like, you know, I know it seems like I'm trying to fix it, and I guess I sort of am. I mean, when you've spent so much the past year on set for a film that you were in with Michael Myers and had to get bangs and a nose job because of Michael Myers, you just sort of learn to be more direct about life. Am I right, Michael Myers? And Little House on the Prairie. I was in it.
Also, this is another situation. You know, Kyle, you have to fix it because you broke it, you buy it. This is another situation of Kyle starting some shit that she doesn't look. Is anybody giving Kyle shit? Kyle was also at that party saying, Erica, you know, I'm scared too. I don't want my reputation fucked up because of this Erica shit. Kyle was also saying that stuff, but notice how she's turned it so that it's only about Dorit.
Yeah.
Now. Always. You know, Kyle gets away with everything. Murder. And at this point, I gotta say, nice work.
I'm kind of like, I finally have come around to the entertainment value of that. Like, there's something like hilarious about that.
Yeah, like, I've gotta say.
I've kind of really, like, when Kyle does this bullshit, last year, remember how angry we'd get over it? And now I'm kind of like,
yeah, every year, but it's like so obviously her. And why does nobody yell at Kyle? It's crazy. So Kyle's like, yeah, you know, I have to fix it. And Garcelle goes, no, you don't. Listen, I hear you. And from now on, I'll say it to your face. Yeah, because it feels really shitty.
Well, I heard you, and from now on, it'll be different. And now I'm going to stare at you from behind my sunglasses with my lips pursed. So I hope you're enjoying that.
I know. And Jimmy goes, thank you. Garcia goes, you're welcome. And they just sort of say, goes, I'm just so happy that we're really talking about it. It's just very awkward. God. It's like the definition of totally not resolved. And I love that in this conversation about being upfront and honest with your feelings, they're having about as fake of a resolution as possible.
Of course. So then we go to our... I feel like I have a booger, do I?
I don't see one.
Guys, I trimmed my nose hairs, and I think one of my nose hairs is poking into the side of my nose, and it feels like a booger. Mm. And this is on video, so I had to check it, but I don't see it.
I hate when that happens.
Well, I will say,
if you want to like close your side of the window and check it for yourself without being on camera, you know, that's
like with my finger. What am I, a monster? No, I'm not going to do that.
I don't know. I thought maybe I was thinking tissue, but you know,
no, that's what God didn't get.
I was going to give you space.
God didn't make fingers out of tissue for a reason, okay? Okay, so then we go over to Kathy's house, and she's like, Paula, do we have those chicken salads ready? Just a scoop and no mayo, because Kyle likes to watch her beautiful figure.
Chicken salad is a real through line for these sisters. So Kyle arrives. These sisters,
it doesn't matter how rich you get. At the end of the day, you're still having some old chopped up chicken mixed with mayonnaise and some Ritz crackers.
Ritz crackers and some very sad green pepper slices. It was like so retro. So Kyle arrives and it's a full on Christmas scene. And I think they tried to make it seem like it's in the future. I don't know. Kyle's like, well, you still
she said she's saving it. Yeah, she's saving it because Paris hasn't been back yet. Paris didn't spend Christmas, so they're saving Christmas till later so Paris can join them.
Yeah, I don't know. So Kathy's like, oh, let me show you. Since I'm having a girls over, I thought I'd show you pink and red and white and purple roses and flowers and everything like that. And, you know, it takes me 4 days to put together a party. I mean, this is just a Kyle, please stop salivating at my candlesticks. Kyle, you're getting your saliva on the tablescape. Kyle's like, where did you get those? She's like holding up this candlestick.
Baccarat. So Kathy talks about how Dorit likes to put all of her effort into her clothes, and Kathy puts them into tables. So they sit in the table, and they're served these weirdo salads on TV trays.
It is so, like, it's like a time warp. Something happened. First of all, also, did you notice Kyle's shoes? She was wearing, like, some 1990s, I don't know, maybe they're very in, but they looked crazy to me. Those big black boot things. But anyway, yeah, it's this very retro. They go to this room that looks like it's from 40 or 50 years ago. Little TV trays, this chicken salad scoops with Ritz crackers and these very sad crudités. It was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, and so Carl says that their mom used to serve them like that on little TV trays, and it's hilarious that Kathy still does it. And so they start talking about the party, and Kathy's like, well, I was just so surprised when you got so upset, you know, when you were saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And Carl's like, no, that was Garcelle. Oh, sorry, Kyle. Sorry, Kyle.
Well, no, because...
She still thinks Kyle is Garcelle.
No, Kyle's like... Kyle says that she was surprised that Garcelle got so upset and kept saying, fuck you. And then I know, Kathy
I'm just
goes,
kidding.
Kathy goes, who said that? Like, wait, that was being said? She just completely missed there was an entire fight because she's putting on lipstick. She goes, well, my lips are dry. So apparently there was also a lip reader that was there that was edited out. And we see a clip of this lip reader who was looking at their lips and then like... giving the future for them, and she's like, Kathy, you have these crinkles right up there. That means a lot of responsibility. And Kyle, your kiss is wide open. There's still so much healing to do. And I'm gonna tell your mom to get out of this conversation. I can feel that your mom is in this conversation. She's saying, Kyle, do not betray me. And then it turns out that she literally just Googled all of them before she got there.
She said she Googled them and American Woman came up, which I'm sure, Kyle. Also, this lady really has a death wish. Who would go to Kathy Hilton? I mean, you can say that Kathy Hilton's not insecure all you want, but she's got like a brand new face for this season, right? Like, who would go up to someone who's just obviously put $100,000 at least into their face and go, see these little wrinkles right here? You've got a lot of responsibility. I'll tell you what, your little lip reading business in that strip mall is about to be burned down, biatch. You better watch your step.
Your lip reading world is over.
So Kathy's like, well, let me say this. We've been under scrutiny and people say this and that for so many years. And what happens is this. It's only drawing attention. So Kyle talks about how she had a lot of setbacks with Kathy when she and Mauricio started the agency. And that was the first time that Kathy and I ever had an issue. And basically Kathy thought that American Woman was going to disrespect, you know, Big Kathy and the sisters and everything.
Right. So she was like, you know, I just wanted a conversation about it. Kyle, they told you they didn't want you making a TV show about their life, and you made a TV show about their life. Your husband was brought up in Rick's company and then just left with all the clients, you know, left with his clients or whatever, which I guess we could debate about how that's not really that big of a deal all these years later, but to pretend like she doesn't know. And then Kyle goes and tries to sell a show based on a real estate agency being taken out from the brother-in-law.
Right.
Like, isn't that the plot of her new show? I mean, Kyle's so fucking shady. Right. And so Kathy's like, okay, well, you know, listen, there's been so many things out there. And look, there's no way that people would have been interested in a story about Angelina Jolie and her mom or Greta Garbo and her mother. Or, you know, Alf from the television show. Who was Alf's mother? What did she do for a living? Where's that story, Kyle?
Kyle's like, what? And then Kyle's like, excuse me one second. Hey, Larry, cancel the Greta Garbo story. Cancel the Angelina Jolie pitch. Mm-hmm. Cancel the Alf pitch. Okay? They're all off the table. No one wants them.
Right. So nobody knows what she's really talking about. But Kyle goes, what does that mean? She goes, well, you know, it just really put mom in such a bad light. She goes, who put mom in a bad light? Me? She goes, no, just jealous people and comments from jealous people. And you're the jealous people, Kyle. It's you.
And Kyle's like, look, if anyone saw American Woman, it was literally a love letter to mom, even though it wasn't about mom at all. In fact, it was inspired by mom, but it was a love letter to her, but it wasn't about her at all, okay? And I've said that till I was blue in the face, okay? So Kyle's like very scared because she's afraid this is going to spark a whole other issue with him. And Kathy says, well, if it's such a love letter to mom, why wouldn't you have talked about it to Kim? She's like, I did talk to Kim, okay? You and I weren't speaking at that time. She's like, oh, okay. And she's like, well, I just know I wouldn't have done it without talking to you, Kyle.
Right. Which, you know, Team Kathy, of course. And she tells us, I had a lawyer write a letter and say, you are not about to use me or my family in this. I would do that to my own children. And that's that. And so Kyle, by the way, is like, Kathy, but Kathy, go on, Kathy. And she's wearing a little tiara on her head that Kathy had as a decoration.
No, the tiaras were party gifts. She got everyone like diamond tiaras. So Kyle is like, well, if it was a real story about mom, I wouldn't have done it. It was just, I like the idea of the 70s and a single mom with three daughters, one of whom is super successful on TV, but sort of a mess. The other one is the one who's the real star. That's all I wanted to do, you know?
Well, there were a couple of things in that that were off color to me. So what was off color? Well, you know, that she was floating in a pool with a champagne bottle and dollar bills everywhere. That was Erica's video. You know, she was on a bed throwing dollars up in the air, talking about patting her puss.
Then she was like pretending to do like a hula hoop thing and then dancing. It's like, that's the opening credits for Big Brother. Yeah, I just, you know. And then a helicopter shows up and we're all running to get the medics and get, you know, like get someone into the infirmary. That's MASH.
A little furry guy who's real fun, except that he eats everyone's cat. Ma, why are you stuck on Alf still? What's going on with you and Alf?
And then mom shows up in Pittsburgh and is just like trying to help this family, but she's all, you know, British and they're not British. That's Mr. Belvedere. That's not even close to it.
So basically Kathy is saying that she had people calling her saying, oh my God, we just saw Kyle's show. And you know, apparently your mom's just like in a pool, drunk, chain smoking, doing heroin and getting, you know, getting her poo-tang eaten by a, you know, an agent in Palm Springs or whatever she's hearing. And I love that Big Kathy never even watched it.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. Still looks like she hasn't even seen it.
Like, this is horrifying that people think that mom actually got into a pool. We all know that she did her chain smoking at the Polo Lounge trying to get ass out on a date. So she basically is like, listen, if it's in the show, then people think that's your family and it's just not acceptable. So I think it's really funny, by the way, that in the same episode where Sutton is very concerned about her reputation, because reputation is important to her, and they're all like, how, like, you know, oh my God, Sutton only cares about herself. But here's Kathy basically making the argument that, like, if you mess with my reputation, that's totally not cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's her story. I mean, what the hell? So Kathy's like, listen, and let me tell you something. Hands to God, no crossing legs.
Which is how don't I put mayonnaise Paris.
Behind Kyle's knees. Kim has never said one kind unkind thing about you in all that time. And Kyle's like, yeah, right. She goes, I don't need to lie to you. I don't need to. She goes, well, I think maybe you're forgetting and not lying, you know? She goes, because look, sometimes I'm the outsider sister, and then sometimes Kim is the outsider sister. And she goes, well, that's one thing. Kim does not like feeling like an outsider.
And Kyle's like, well, yeah, I mean, no one likes it. I mean, you think I liked it at Christmas when you guys all got together and I wasn't included? That was very, very painful for me. And then Kyle starts talking about how their mom was the mediator. And, you know, if my mom were still alive, we would still have arguments and they would still be bad. But, you know, think of all the lost years of not spending time together. My mom would have never tolerated that. Never, never, never. So then she takes off the tiara and she goes, you know, she goes, oh my God, Kathy, I'm not even wearing a napkin. Why didn't you correct me? And Kathy's like, well, you know, I've given up.
I gave up.
Yeah. You're just a messy, messy
So either. Then we find out that they just got together with their husbands for the first time 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So this is like very new that they're back in each other's lives, I guess. And then we get Maurizio, who's like, oh, you know, it was so good to like see Rick and see Kathy because, you know, like family, like family's everything. And, you know, if you don't have family, then like, who are you going to take a business from? You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't have a family, like to make your life more interesting, what would you have a TV show with Alicia Silverstone to even be in?
Yeah. So upsetting.
So Kyle's like, well, you know, they both cry basically, and Kyle's like, these crackers remind me of childhood, and Kathy's like, remember when mom made us that soup? And you know, that was just some ketchup and some water mixed in.
Yeah, they
like,
literally,
we've like, all heard Kathy's stories, okay?
Yeah. And then the producer asked Kathy, like, what's one thing you regret in those 10 years when you and Kyle were talking less? And Kathy goes, being together. And then she starts to choke up and cry. And it was so sad because we all love big Kathy. And, you know, she seems sort of like emotions. She's emotional, but her emotions seem to be in a different location. And so to see her cry, it was just like really, really sad. And I felt bad. I felt bad.
Well, her emotions seem to come out in different ways, like the hiccups. She's like, you know, we didn't see each other. We didn't see each other for a while. And it was super sad when I wasn't seeing Kyle. Okay, Kathy, just stop crying. Okay, let's talk about something else. Jesus Christ.
And then the light starts to flicker next to them. And she's like, you see that? That's a new lamp and a new light bulb. That must be mom. Oh my God, it's mom. Hi, mom. Hi, mom. You know, just downstairs, Paula's with the light switch being like, ha, these bitches. Like, on and off, on and off.
Oh, okay, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being with us for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Thanks, everyone. And thanks for those who watch this on Crappens On Demand. Have a wonderful weekend. We will be back. Well, we have a bonus episode that we'll be recording. And then we'll be back on Monday with more great stuff. Potomac, Shaw's, all that good things. All those good things. Thanks, everyone. Ronnie, bye. Hope that you enjoy your birthday weekend. Bye. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie. Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.